حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد. First of all, I would like to congratulate all of you mu'mineen and the mu'mineen throughout the world and the Imam of our time, Imam Waliul Asr Al-Mahdi Hujjatullahi Fil Ardi Salawatullahi Alayhi. On the Eid that is known as Eid al-Zahra, for the happiness of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra Salamullahi Alayha. On the first day of the Imamate of our 12th Imam, the avenger of the blood of Karbala and the fulfillment of the promise of Allah. This is the day of Wilayat of our Imam. It begins today, and a few words regarding the concept of Wilayat so that we can learn something and give our allegiance to the Imam once again, as we have ended the period of mourning and now starts the period of preparation. When we look at the society, any society, whether it's here or elsewhere, you will see that in any society there is differences amongst people. Inherent differences. Some people you will see are more intelligent than others. Some people you will see are stronger than others. Some people you will see are wiser than others. And these differences, Allah has made them and made all of humanity to be, all people, individuals, to be different from one another. There are those people who are stronger, there are those people who are wiser. You will see an old person, he will have more wisdom, and you will see a young person will have more strength, physical strength. And these sort of differences exist. Now, what is the reason behind this? What is the purpose of making everyone different and giving everyone differently? Some people end up becoming strong, some people end up becoming weak. What reason does Allah have to make these differences amongst mankind? He could have made everyone equal. He could have made everyone the same and say that all of you are the same. You have the same power, same strength, same muscle, same height, same weight. Everything will be the same. But you see, that is not reality. Reality is that we all are different. Our capabilities are different. Our capacities are different. One of the reasons that Allah mentions in the Quran, and this ayat I want to recite for you, is explaining this difference that exists in amongst us, and explaining it to say that this is because of tasqir. It's because of tasqir. He says in Surah Zukhruf, ayat number 32, that ahum yaksimuna rahmata rabbika. Are they the ones who distribute the mercy of Allah? Nahnu qasamna bainahum ma'ishatan fil hayatid dunya. We are the ones who distribute livelihood in the life of this dunya amongst you. We are the ones who distribute it. I am the one who's doing it, Allah is saying. We are the ones. We distribute it to you. We give to some, we give to some, and we apportion them differently. And why? He says, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. And we give some people through this giving of ours, we make some people superior to others, give them a rank above others. We give them a rank above others. And why is that? لَيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضَهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. And we do this so that some of them may be subjected to some others. We make some people stronger, we make some people weaker, we gave some people strength, we gave some people more knowledge, we gave some people more strength. And we did all of this, and we made you different so that some of you may be subjected to others. So that you are subjected to others, that you accept the fact that someone is superior than you are. If someone has more knowledge, accept the fact that he has more knowledge than you do. If someone is more powerful, accept the fact that he has more power than you do. If someone has more muscles, accept the fact that you do. We do this so that you can be subjected. That you can be subjected under some people. Now when we look at this ayat, we see that Allah is making it clear that there are some people who are stronger, there are some people who are weaker. And these exist, these differences exist, these disparity exist amongst human beings. And he's saying that he is doing that so that those who have been made superior, others should subject themselves to those who are superior. Obviously, when Allah speaks about this, I will explain this more in detail as we go forward. But bear in this mind, this ayat, when we look at the differences of human beings, we see many differences. Some people, you know, in terms of height, you will see that there are some people who are tall and some people are short. In terms of muscles, you see some people are stronger, some people are weaker. Now, when we see the difference of one's influence over another, we will see that there are some people in any society, in any group of people, you see there are some who influence others, they influence others, and there are some who are influenced by others. And you will see this amongst people. For example, whenever an issue is faced, you will see that the people who are influenced by others would always be, whenever an issue they face, they will say, what should we do now? What should we do now? And those people who influence others, when they face an issue, they will say, we need to do this. Those who influence others, we can say that they are, let's say, leaders. Those who get influenced by others, they are followers. This does exist in any society, in any group of people you'll see amongst ourselves. You see there are people who will be influenced by you, right? And there are people who influence others. This does exist in this world. And Allah has made these differences and disparity, and we see that as a reality of life. We see that as a reality of life. So now when we are all living together And we see that there are those people who have the ability to influence others and become leaders. And then there are those people who would be influenced by others and their followers. What ends up happening is that those people who are stronger end up exploiting those who are weaker. That's how you see the history of man is a proof of this reality. That those people who have more, those people who have more means, those people who have more power, those people who have more influence, you see, they always end up becoming rulers over those people who are weak. And they dominate over them. And they have this rule and they exploit those people who are weak. Now, this reality exists in this world and we see it happening all along. Now, when this reality existed, the world came up with two answers to solve this problem. The people of the world, they came up with two solutions to solve this problem. How do you stop the strong from exploiting the weak? How do you stop those who are more influential from dominating those who are less influential? How do you stop that from happening? So they said, okay, you know what? There are two ways of doing this. One way of doing this is that you let the people, you give the power in the hands of those who are weak. Give the power in the hands of those who are weak and let them control those who are strong. Let them control that. This is one way that they said that this is a way that we can do this. We need to do this in this way. So here, when we look at this way, obviously the way it's going to happen is that, listen, all those who are weak and all those who are followers should now elect their leaders instead of the leaders forcing their way up and taking control of the reins of society. In the past, it used to be done through bloodshed and might. Whoever had the might had the right to rule. It used to be done through that. And so, now they said, well, instead of using swords and bloodshed to get power, let's have an election and let the people choose the people who would lead them. Obviously, it is a more sensible system than bloodshed and swords and fighting. A much more sensible system that, okay, you know what, we get together and we elect someone that is going to lead us. This is one of those solutions that was given. Another solution that was given was the fact that this, they said that, listen, these people who are rich and influential, in order to neutralize them, let us make them rivals against each other, pit them against each other, so that when they become rivals, they will neutralize themselves and they will not be able to dominate the weak. This was another way that was given. And this is the open market system. Capitalism was this, that you pit those who are rich and influential together, let them fight it out, and hence they will not be able to exploit those who are weak because they are fighting against each other for the market. And hence, you see, this is another way that the world gave forward an idea, a concept that would stop the reality of strong exploiting the weak. Now, we need to look at these two things and see what does Islam say so that we understand what is Islam's answer to this problem. Let us analyze these two things if you send me salawats. My friends, two answers have been given in this world. They came up with two answers in the history of man. Looking at all the history, we see two answers have been given. The first answer is that let the weak people control the strong. And that is done through elections. Now, when you look at this, in idea, it seems very beautiful that, yes, the weak people should control those who are strong and influential. The weak people should elect them. So, for example, if you elect a leader and he goes bad, then, well, just elect another one after 4 years and he will be in charge of the society and he will make the decisions from there forward. You have that authority. The people have their authority. But when we look at inside of it, how can people who are weak and have no influence control people who are strong and have influence? How can that happen when those who are strong have the power, have the influence, have the means, have the wealth, have the resources in their hands, and all they need to do now, because before they needed to kill people and then take power. Now, in order to get power, this idea of giving the control in the hands of the people was made their life easier, that instead of bloodshed, now all they have to do is use their means and resources to sway the minds of people. To sway the minds of people. That's all you need to do now. Now the war is of opinions. Now you sway the opinions of people towards your side. And whoever is able to do that is able to take the reins of society and go forward with it. They're able to take the reins of society and they can go forward with it. So now when you look at that, you'll see that at the end what happened, those people who are influential, they stayed influential because now all they need to do is spend money and buy the media and use the media to now influence the minds of people. And how easy is it to influence the minds of people? My friends, it's very easy to influence the minds of people when you have the media in your hands. If someone just comes and says that, listen, now we will, if you want to influence, let's say the Shias, all you have to do is, if you want to win in the election and you want to influence the Shias, and you see this happening in places where there are non-Muslim countries, you know, where Shias are like in India and this and that, you will see that those people who are the leaders of politics, they'll end up, all they need to do is that whenever there's a majlis or this and that, just come to the majlis and attend the majlis, or read a noha or do something like that, and you see all the Shias are with him. Yeah, mashallah, such a good guy. You see? Such a good guy. Alhamdulillah. And you see nowadays, what happens? You know, I mean, for example, Obama goes to an Eid prayer. Everyone's like, oh, you see, he came to Eid prayer. He's such a nice man. How easy is it to influence the minds of people, you know? My friends, you know, when you look at the people and you influence their minds, and this is all they need to do now. They use the media to influence others, to sway their minds, and still those who are powerful, those who are influential, are still in charge. They are still in charge. They are still there, and they still dominate over others, exploit others, even though they have to find more refined ways of doing it. But they end up doing it. So now, still, the exploitation is still there. The exploitation is still there. So now, that whole idea, you see, really, inwardly, is a vacuum. It's empty. Now, when we come to the second idea, and they said, okay, let's pit the rivals together. Those who are rich, make them be rivals against each other. And let them fight it out in the open market, and they'll drop the prices down. And they won't be able to exploit the people. Well, again, what is the surety that these people won't get together and make a millionaires club? And now you see that they'll say, listen, okay, you're in business, I'm in business, this guy's in business. We three are the ones in business. Now let's just make sure that a fourth one doesn't come in. Right? Whenever a fourth one wants to go a little bit above, you see right away they catch him and finish him off. They buy him out. Whatever the way that they want to do it, they will just pounce on that. And again, you see that there's still the problem exists of those who are weak and less influential being exploited by those who are strong. Both of these ideas, you see, we are a living proof of this in this country. How many people are being exploited here? And we can go on with those type of discussions. That is not my topic. Just I want to now, let's say, that what does Islam say now? What does Islam want us to do? What does Islam say to prevent this from happening? So my friends, here Islam says no. There are two ways of dealing with this. Islam has proposed two ways of dealing with this. The first way that Islam had said, that if you want to deal with this problem, then what you need to do, first of all, is have an authority from above. An authority from above that will be an onlooker to make sure that those who are strong do not take advantage of those who are weak. Allah called it wilayat. Allah called it wilayat. Allah made, this is where Allah says in this ayat of Surah Zukhruf that I recited for you, أَهُمْ يَكْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Are they the ones who appoint the prophets above you? Are they the ones who make the prophets? No. He says, we are the ones who distribute your livelihood amongst you. We are the ones who will appoint the prophet and the wali over you. We are the ones who do that. Your job is to, when you see the wilayat, that you subject yourself to the wali. You follow the wali. You just subject yourself to the wali. That is wilayat. He says, make wilayat. What does wilayat do? He says that when you have wilayat, you have an authority over these people who are influential in the society. So now what this wali does is that he comes over there, and if three people who are strong are taking control of the market and exploiting the poor, he says, wait a minute, you three, stop there. This fourth one and fifth one, they also have the right to be in the market with you. You cannot just push him out of the market. What is the role of the walayat, right, my friends? What is the role of the wali? Just to give you an example so you understand it through the example. So, you know, the youth over here, you know, when I'm speaking like without examples, it becomes hard just to imagine what this theory is. But to give you an example so you understand it better, what is the role of the wali over here? You see, the wali, one of his roles, many roles that he has, one of his roles is that he's a referee. You know, when you have a football game, a soccer match, you have a referee in the soccer match. Now, you see, the referee is not scoring the goals, or he doesn't take part in either side. But what he does, what a referee does, is that he makes sure that no one else is fouling someone else. No one person is fouling someone else. No one person is doing something wrong in the game. He makes sure that everyone plays according to the game. So when you establish wilayat, what does the wilayat do? The wilayat now makes sure that anyone who is in the game of life is not cheating others or taking advantage of others and exploiting others. He will stop them and call them out, and so that they will be called out, and those who are weak now can be protected from those who are strong and may take advantage and foul them. This is what the wilayat does, my friend. This is what one of the roles of the wali is. What are the roles? He's a judge, he's a referee. He makes sure he's not scoring the goal. When you look at Rasulullah, you see that he came as a referee to make sure that human beings who are wanting to grow and want to go towards Allah all have the chance to go towards him, and make the environment such that they all have the chance to grow, and not anyone should be oppressed by the others that he cannot grow in a society. He came and did what? He made sure that no one does that. Well, then if you made it sure, if Rasulullah made it sure, someone can say, well, why didn't Ali score then? Well, Ali didn't have a team. His team ran away. When his team ran away, then what happens? You know, he's alone now. He had to forfeit the game. Right? He had to let go of it. Why? Because the team is not there. The team ran away. Right? Imam Hassan, the same thing. He had to forfeit. Why? The team is not there. You see, again, what happened? Oppression happened. Now the establishment of wilayat is what? To make sure that a society can breathe and live in equity and fairness. That is the role of Wilayat. When you establish Wilayat, what happens? What happens is that he makes sure that those people who are strong do not take advantage of the weak and do not exploit the weak. Wherever he sees that they're exploiting the weak, that's where his Wilayat comes in and he stops them from doing that. Obviously, those people who are rich do not like that. Those people who are influential do not like to have a wali over them. Do not like wilayats. This was always the problem. It's not a new problem. It's always the problem, my friends. Allah says that your job, whenever you see the wali, subject yourself to him. Be his subject. Accept him and obey him. This is your job. Now, who did not? When you look at Nuh, you say, well, you know, in the Nuh's time, people rejected Nuh. No, the people did not reject Nuh. Look at how Allah speaks about it in the Quran. He says, Qala mala'u. Qala al-mala'u min qawmihi. He said that the influential people amongst the people of Nuh, they are the ones who stood up against Nuh. Mala'u is the people who are in charge, the brass of the society. They stood up against the people and they make the weak people turn against the Anbiya. They make the weak people turn against the Anbiya. It's always the rich people who do that, influence from the top. And they say, hey, this guy is not good. He's going against our religion. Or he's going against our way of life. Or he's going against this. And so the people who are there, their minds are swayed. And that's why they turn against Nuh. The people didn't turn against Nuh. It is the rich people who didn't like Nuh to be in charge. Because they knew if Nuh is there, then if his Wilayat is established, then they will not be able to exploit the weak. This, my friends, understand. The role of Wilayat is what? When we want wilayat, that is what wilayat does. It makes the society, gives the society room to breathe. In fact, true freedom is only under the umbrella of wilayat. True freedom is only under the umbrella of wilayat. When you take wilayat away from you, then the natural disposition of the strong is going to exploit those who are weak. That's why wilayat is important. That's why you see that one wilayat has to be there. And the other thing are the people. Allah says that Islam says the second thing is the people. The people have to have taqwa and understand that this is their wali and be subjected to him. When they come forward, then his wilayat is established. My friends, imamat cannot be established until the people accept the imamat. Understand this much. Imam is the imam from Allah. Allah appointed him as the imam. He has, by appointing him, Allah is saying that he is the best who is qualified to be the imam. That's what Allah is saying by appointing him. But if the people don't accept him, then the jamaat cannot be formed. That's why in the rules of prayers of jamaat also, the imam doesn't make the niyat of jamaat. It is the people who follow him make the niyat of jamaat, and then jamaat is formed. It's the people who come and say that I'm praying behind this imam. They make the niyat, and then you see jamaat is formed. Jamaat is formed by the people. The people have to come forward. If the people don't come forward, then the jamaat cannot be established. So when we look at the examples of history, then it will become clear for you. If you understood these two things, one, the imam has to be there, and two, the people have to accept his wilayat. When these two things happen, then there could be islah in the society. Then there could be islah in the society. So now when you look at history, and let me give you an example from history, and from there we will go on. One example from history, when you see that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, when he left to go on his mission, he left a wasiyat. That wasiyat is known by everyone now. He wrote it down himself so it will not be mistranslated, misinterpreted, or any way lost or misspoken. He wrote it down, gave it to Muhammad Hanafiya. He said, this is my wasiyah. He said, Innama خرجت لطلب الإصلاح في أمة جدي. I am going forward to do Islah in the Ummah of my grandfather. So now the goal of Imam Hussein was to do Islah in the society. Now what happened? Understand this. Imam is the Wali. He has wilayat from Allah. Now the people have to accept him. When the people of Kufa wrote letters to Imam Hussein and said that we want you as the Imam and we are ready to back you. So Imam Hussein, now the second condition of Islah, which is the people accepting wilayat, was fulfilled. When the second condition was fulfilled, now it was wajib on the Imam to take the role of wilayat and to come forward and to establish wilayat because the people have accepted it. But in the case of Hussein, the people backed out. And when the people backed out, now Imam Hussein had no choice but to now do Amr bil Ma'ruf in another way that he did. But we see that the wilayat was established because the people came forward. That's why Imam Hussein went to Kufa. The people came forward, they said, we are with you. My friends, Imam and Wali is looking for the people to come towards them so that they can establish wilayat. So they can establish wilayat. If Imam is Zamana, we cannot see him right now. Salawat alayhi. If we cannot see our Imam right now, if he is too far away from us, then the reason is because we are not catching up to him. We are not catching up to him. He is the Wali. But in order for his wilayat to be established, we also have to be ready. If we are not ready, he's not going to come and establish a wilayat. We have to be ready. And it's Mu'mineen's job. You know, my friends, understand this. Wali, right? Allah is the Wali of the believers. He makes it clear. Why is Allah the Wali of the believers? Why not the non-believers? Have you ever looked into this ayat? We read this in it's the ayat right after Ayatul Kursi. Right? The second ayat after Ayatul Kursi, you say it. That where Allah says, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the wali of the believers. In another place, he says that innama waliyukum Allahu wa rasuluhu wal ladina amanu al ladina yuqimuna salat wa yutuna zakat wa hum raki'un. That Allah is the wali, his messenger is the wali, and Imam Ali is the wali of the believers. Right? Again, of the believers. Why not the non-believers? Why aren't they the wali of the non-believers? Have you ever looked into that and noticed that? Why? You see, my friends, understand. The Imam is someone who is ahead. And the concept of Imam can only be established when there is movement. If there's movement, then there will be a leader. If there's no movement, there's no leader. If we, you know, like for example, we have 100 cars over here in the parking lot. Will anyone say, okay, you know what? This car is in the lead. I mean, this car in the lead. The concept of lead doesn't apply when all the cars are parked. Now, if you put all those cars in the parking lot into a race, and you go in a race, then you see those cars that are there, the one that goes ahead of them will become the leader. When all the cars are moving, then you have the concept of leadership and imamat. So now if you go to a NASCAR, you will see all the cars are running. The one that's in the lead, they say, okay, this is the leader of the pack. This car's in the lead, so that car becomes the leader. Because he's ahead of the game and everyone's moving in one direction. When you're moving in one direction, then that car becomes the lead. Now in the NASCAR, do you say that, okay, you know what? He is the leader of those who are in the race and those cars that are in the parking lot outside. Not the leader of the cars in the parking lot, they're not even in the race. In order to be in the race, you have to be a mu'min. You have to be a Shia if you want to be in the race. Now that you are a Shia and a Mu'min, now you're in the race, now your leader is the Imam. Now your leader is the Imam and he is leading you, he's ahead of you. That's why he is the leader. So now when he is the leader, what happens? We fall behind so much, a time comes, we fall behind so much that, you know, we look at his number plate and he's going further and further until a time comes we cannot even see him. he has gone far, we are lagging behind. We lagged behind so much now that we can't see the one who's in the lead. This is why ghaibat occurs. This is the concept of ghaibat. What is the meaning of ghaibat of the imam? That we have lagged so much behind that we can't see our leader now. We can't see our imam now. And now is the imam waiting for us or are we waiting for him? You see, he is the one who's waiting for us. We need to catch up to him. My friends, this is the reason today when we are remembering the wilayat of Imam Zaman, the first day of his imamat. Salawat ala Muhammad. We are the ones who will be now burdened to make that allegiance to the imam now. 2 months and 8 days we have mourned Imam Hussein, energized our batteries, made ourselves strong. Imam Hussein does that. That's one of the miracles of Hussein, that whoever comes to Hussein and mourns him, this is a natural process of growing and strengthening. That energy is given. That energy is given to us. And Imam Hussein, through this mourning, we have been given this energy now. We have been given this energy. And now our job is what? To make sure that now we use that energy to go forward and meet with the Imam. Imam is waiting for us. Imam is waiting for us. He also cried with us, and now he's waiting for us. And today, let us make our allegiance to the Imam and give bay'ah to the Imam that, Imam, we want to establish your wilayat, and we want to be the ones who want to make sure that your wilayat is established in this world. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right paths, to give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.